Thanks. Honor to be here.
You bringing that down?
You're a good man. Look at you. Samson anointing. Came on Rudy. He's awesome. You guys good? Good. Thanks for letting me be here and join you. I want you to know right out of the gate, I've been saying this a lot lately. I don't even know why, but it's in my heart now. And I just want you to know I'm here because I want to be. Okay? I don't have some kind of contract. It's nothing about money. You guys aren't. I ain't expecting anybody to pay my bills next month. This has nothing to do with that. I don't need to be here. I could be home right now. I'm here because I want to be. And I absolutely 100% believe the gospel that I preach. It's life-changing and it's worth me being here. If they want me to come and open up my heart, I figured there'd be a few men here, and here you are. So we were right on that. So let's just go for it, and let's be encouraged, and let's look a little more like Jesus than we've ever looked before. Let's stay on track, and let's make the most of the days in front of us. Amen. And let's mark hearts for His great name and make our lives count. You know what I mean? That sure beats being self-centered and discouraged and disappointed and struggling and incorporating Him into our life, hoping to catch a break instead of making Him known through our lives. Amen. So we're just going to talk a little bit. I just want you to know I'm here because I want to be. And it was my joy to be here, and I'm honored to be here. I've met some fellas that have been plowing ground and planting a whole lot longer than I've been saved. And here I am standing here. So it's not that I'm here to try to come up with something new that you haven't heard or tell you something you don't know. I'm here to cheer you on and say, look, we're all in this together. I might live in PA and you live in California, but the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. Truth on the earth. His name is Jesus and He lives in us. So we're going to keep our eyes on Him. Amen. We're going to make the most of this moment. So I'm honored. Thanks. That's enough for my little whatever there. But I'm just thanks for letting me be here. Rudy and I tried to work this out over a year ago, and my calendar just wouldn't let it happen. And I heard sincerity in his heart, and he said, man, we just got a bunch of guys. We get together every year. I said, well, listen, you call me back if you still feel like you want to do this. You call me back. I gave you a time frame, right? And I said, I'll keep this open. And here we are. So it's just awesome. And I want to, you don't really need to know this stuff, but I don't know why it's on my heart. But I literally get hundreds of invites because somebody put me all on that YouTube thing. I'm not a computer guy. I didn't post myself on there. I don't have a computer. I don't. I'm just being honest. I don't own a computer. I'm not against them. I'm just not into them. I just don't have one. Well, somebody put me out there, so he's watching and I pop up. Well, that's fascinating. I just pop up there on that little screen. And you click on. I guess that's amazing. So I get a whole lot of invites. I don't screen them and ask questions and how big's your church. And I just go where I hear sincerity and I go where I hear hunger. And here's what I've learned. Everybody matters. He shed his blood for everybody. You don't need a big crowd to preach the gospel. Just need ears that are willing to hear. And you don't even really need that, actually. You just need to preach the gospel. but what I'm saying is when you get these invites, people want you to come, but it's not about how big your church is. It's just you hear sincerity, you hear hunger, and you come because everybody matters. Every geographical location to me is important. I understand God does things here and He has timing on stuff, but who knows we can all walk in Him today? Who knows we can all walk in salvation today? Who knows we can all walk in love and live by the Spirit today? Who knows that you're not hand-tied and handcuffed by God's sovereign timing to walk in who He's called you to be? Who knows, God, that's given you grace called salvation? Grace for salvation, right? Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the first things the Lord told me to teach when I got saved, I mean, I was just saved, and they asked me to share my heart because they saw radical change in my life and people saw how excited I was. Some folks was waiting for it to wear off. And here we are a long time later. And I'm a little worse than I used to be. I was 20 years saved in June. And I calmed myself down. Seriously, it's not a joke. I calmed myself down to talk and communicate. Because I'm very excited about the gospel. I'm not here to play emotional cards. I'm not here to, but I calm myself down the inside. It's hard for me to talk about the gospel and not light up inside and get all worked up. Somebody will sit on a plane and say, so where are you going and why are you? And I start talking and they're like, whoa, you're like, man, you have no idea. I'm trying to stay calm for you because I don't want to freak you out and turn you off or something. But so I'm alive inside. And I won't apologize for that. But it's 20 years. It's amazing. It's been fun. But the first thing Jesus taught me was he said this to me. He said, when you teach people, you tell them this. They can have as much of me as they want. And that they hunger for. And as much of me as you see in their life is as much as they're pursuing and desire. And I thought, man, that sounds like a pretty harsh, straight statement. I didn't know if I could preach that. The more I looked at it and the more I waited, I thought, you know what? Those that hunger and thirst shall be fed. Now, I understand there's a little lack of understanding sometimes. We don't see things clear. That's why we teach. That's why we do what we're doing. This weekend. That's why pastors pastor. That's to lead and guide and feed. And so I'm just telling you, he's available. You can have as much of him as you're hungry for. And I want all of him. These songs are right on the money. Surrender. Surrender is not some hardcore legalistic bite your lip. It's giving yourself to him in light of who he's created you to be and what he's created you for, and getting yourself away from whatever you thought it was before that. Now explain that. So surrender is very simply this. I'm coming to you, God, and I'm giving myself to you in light of who you created me to be and why you created me, and I'm pulling away from everything I thought life was before I knew you. That's a simple form of surrender right there. You got to start there. If not, you incorporate him into your life. You'll bring Jesus into your life. He becomes your life. You'll add Jesus to your identity. No, actually, you can't even find yourself except you find yourself through him. He actually becomes your identity. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's not your confession of Christ. It's the Christ in you. The Christ that wants to flow through you. He's the one that makes a difference. He's the one that impacts people. So there's something I've learned since I've been saved. I watch a lot. I listen. I've been very involved. I've been very privileged to just be in settings like this a lot and get around a lot of good people. But I've learned this. I've learned that the level you understand him, the level you see and understand why he sent his son, the gospel you understand is the gospel you'll follow and live. And we call it the full gospel. There's a lot of ideas of the gospel out there. There's a lot of levels of understanding out there. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, not some, in all you're getting, get understanding. He didn't say blessing. He didn't say more provision. He didn't say in all you're getting, get all your dreams fulfilled. He said, in all you're getting, get understanding. It must be important. Guess what we grew up hearing? What you don't know won't. You ever hear that growing up? The Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So what you don't know won't hurt you is a lie. We were being taught by a lie. You heard all your life, don't get your hopes up. It'd be great if it happened, Billy, but don't get your hope up. You know, I appreciate you believing for that, but man, I don't want to see you let down. I don't want to see you hurt, man. I just tell you, I'd be careful. Just don't get your hopes too up, man. Anybody ever hear anybody talk like that in your life? What's the Bible say? Hope is the faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 6 says, hope is the anchor of your soul passing through the veil into his presence. Hope is a big deal. The Bible's saying get your hope sky high and you grew up here and don't get your hope up. You grew up here and what you don't know won't hurt you. And the Bible says what you don't know is destroying you. Who's heard this one out here in the Sacramento area? Well, what you see is, oh, you all did hear that out here. You heard it out here. The language has made its way all around the world. This language speaks all around the world. What you see is what you get. You were taught that from the time you can remember. And the Bible says, don't you ever live by what you see. What you see is subject to change. What is unseen is eternal. There's a difference between the two. It's amazing to me that we've heard these. How about this one? Well, you made your bed. That is not the gospel. The gospel is all about redemption. It's all about reconciliation, the restoration of your life. The gospel's not about, well, you should have known better, okay. I'm going to have to lie in that for a while, pal. No, how about get up out of that and lie in what He prepared for you. Become a new man, a new creature. Get a new heart. Get a new spirit. Get a new way of thinking. Get a new life. Come on. I'm just saying this because in all you're getting an understanding, the reason the Bible's telling us that is because we were taught by these other things our whole life without realizing they weren't the truth. And then the truth came, Rudy. His name's Jesus. He's not a doctrine. He's not letters on a page. He's a life lived. He's not a sermon preached. He's a life lived. His name is Jesus and He's my King. I'm telling you, He's the way. Why? Because He's the truth. And He is the life of the Father revealed. See, no one comes to the... So I want to encourage you in some things, guys. We're taught, we mean well, but we're like, Jesus, He's the way to heaven. If you read your Bible, He's the way back to the Father. He's not our motivation. Heaven's not supposed to be our motivation. Heaven's supposed to be here on the earth. The kingdom of God's at hand. We're not to be trying to motivate people through heaven. It's back to the Father. It's sonship. It's belonging. It's family. It's Christ in me. My motive for Christianity isn't heaven someday. It's heaven in me now. I didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven came back into me. I'm one with Him now. He forgave me of everything I've ever done. He sees me for who He's created me to be. He judges me through the blood of Jesus, righteous in His sight. Guys, that doesn't give me a reason to sin and get away with it. It gets me free from all that stuff. It changes my value, changes my identity, inspires me and empowers me and opens me up to receive grace to be a different man than I was before. It's good news. I'm not biting my lip trying to be better. I've been changed. I'm not waking up trying not to sin. I'm waking up enjoying being His. I'm accepted in the Beloved. One sacrifice has made me right forever in His sight if I believe. Colossians, guys, says we're holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight if indeed we continue to hold fast to the hope in which we first heard and in no way moved away. It says you're holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight if you don't let anything talk you out of it and change your mind. Now watch this. A lot of the things, see, because in a lot of men's meetings, we just talk about the men's struggles. And I know right now there's guys maybe this and guys maybe that and all these confessions and tack all your hidden secret sins on the cross. But what we do is we stay perpetual sinners. We feel a little relief for a moment, but concerned we'll have to nail that thing someday down the road. And I'm here to talk about an answer. See, the folks that are living in those places, the folks that meets in this room, you got that little secret, you got that little thing you're down, you got that little cycle in your life. It just reveals one thing to me as a believer and a brother. You just don't completely realize and know who you are. It's not always just a spirit. It's not always just an evil person. Sometimes it's a lack of understanding, and all you're getting get understanding. If God can raise your value in your understanding, if God can raise the value of who you are in your sight, you'll live up to that value. You won't sell cheap when you see you're worth more. When you begin to see who you are, there's a fulfillment in that. There's a fulfillment in knowing Him and knowing His love. The fullness of God comes into you. You're a house with no empty rooms. You're not trying to fill vacuums and things and empty. No, when you know Him and know who you are and see how He sees you, it changes things, guys. Without you biting your lip trying to be better. I've never in 20 years tried to change my life. What He changed in my eye and about me and what He changed through truth has made me free. I didn't try to stop doing things.
They just aren't even there. I'm not going to get a trophy someday, super Christian. He doesn't do this, doesn't do this. Oh, I don't believe him. Everybody does that. We talk like this in the church. People think everybody has their secrets and everybody has their little dark closet. Well, I don't have one. You say, you're in denial. No, one day you'll find out I was right. But heaven's not going to give me an award. The only reason I don't have one is because I see who I am and I won't sell cheap since I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. I've already been bought with a price. I'm His. He values me with His life. So I'm not paying Him back with mine. I'm getting the message. I'm not saying, okay, He gave me His life, I've got to give Him mine. That's how we teach the gospel sometimes, or perceive the gospel. It sounds noble, it sounds integral, but it's not power. It's a lot of failure in it. Turns it into a New Year's resolution. Well, I'm not going to do this anymore. Until. And then when you do it, you feel like a failure. Then you go, you know, one hand worship. Because you're not that worthy anymore. Because you just ain't getting it. And that's what happens to folks. And watch this. The only reason you feel bad is because your heart's been made good. Come on, let me mess with you a little. You wouldn't be condemned if your heart was impure. You wouldn't feel bad if something good wasn't changing inside of you. There was a time you did things and didn't even blink, guys. And the more you got truth, understanding, and the knowledge of the way things could be in Jesus, the more you felt different about the things you were doing. Come on. I got folks come to me in private. I have grown men come to me and weep over their life. You know what I tell them first and foremost? Man, I'm glad to see how the gospel's purifying your heart. And they think it's cynical. They're like, purify my heart. Didn't you hear what I just said I did? Well, I heard what you said you did, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but I see who you are. And I'm excited about the gospel changing you on the inside. Because the biggest tragedy is if you start thinking what you did is who you are, then you'll lose your identity for sure. And you'll backtrack big time. But if you keep relating to what He did, and see yourself for who you are through what He did, you'll keep being empowered to see this isn't you and it's subject to change. Come on. So I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. You guys all right? Am I making sense? Good. Man, I'm sitting right here in Colossians. That's a tempting chapter. I didn't even know I was sitting there. I wonder if Jesus turned my Bible there. No, we're not going to go there yet. I thought he's over here messing with my Bible. He turned my pages. See, I color code my Bible. I'm like a little kid, man. I am. I'm like a little kid. Look at this. That's a color code. I did that myself with colored pencils. Every one of them colors means something. So look at my Bible, because it all means something. It's so exciting to me. Okay. So I'm an answer-conscious guy. I don't go after problems. I don't say you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't run around with. That's not how I preach. That stuff, you realize that when you preach it with Him. The truth makes you free. You don't point out problems to get to the answer. You point out the answer and it takes away the problem. It's just the gospel. It's how the gospel works, man. And I have ministered to lots of people that had addictions and cycles in their life. And I just sit and patiently, because what we do is we want results right away. And we just think if they didn't change, if that thing didn't change, then what we said didn't work. We're real limited like that. We don't understand. Look, you don't farm that way. You put it out. You put that thing in there, whatever you're planting. Rains come, sun, elements. There's things that make that thing work. Right? Come on, the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. Every time you minister truth, you set up the hope for freedom. You don't preach the truth and then watch, look, and listen and get discouraged and change your strategy. Don't do that with yourself. Don't say, well, I guess I'm a failure. No, why do you even care enough to make that comment? Because there's something going on inside of you. Stop selling cheap when you're not for sale. Come on, man. Don't beat yourself up and don't throw yourself out. You don't want to anyway, really. So if you see yourself slipping into something, thank God for the truth that's invested into your life that's causing you to even recognize there's a concern. Start there. Get excited there. And start declaring, God, my life in you is more than this. Man, for years this thing's tried to get at me. For years it feels like it's been winning. But man, I feel like you're breaking it down. I feel like you're showing me who I really am. That is so not my desire anymore. And all of a sudden you say, yeah, but Dan, I just did that thing. Yeah, and you're catching it and you're seeing it and you're pulling over here and it's taking you to communion and prayer with God. That sure beats condemnation and just telling a brother, tears, no hope for redemption. Come on. Talk about relationship. I'm talking about, see, you're going to realize, I'm being so gentle with you guys tonight. I'm just breaking in, man. You're going to realize by the next day and a half, there's something wrong with me. And what you're going to realize is what's wrong with me is I'm in love. And I'm not ashamed of this God. I have a relationship with God. He has fathered me for 20 years. He is not ashamed to call me a brother. He loves me. I'm telling you, He loves me. Not because I've been flawless and perfect, because I was made for His image. And I'm pursuing His image. And I'm pursuing Him and letting His grace change me and make me what He's always known me to be. Oh, and His goodness keeps me inspired like that. So I didn't wake up to fail today.
I woke up to be His. It's a pretty good day. You get it? See, I told you there's something wrong with me. See, the cat's out of the bag now. I'm toast. I'm sorry. I didn't f*** you long, Pastor. I won't get flaky on you, I promise. I'm happy about it. This is 20 years of what I believe. I tell people I'm the most deceived man you've ever met, and I'm in deep denial, or I'm free. And time will tell, but I got all my chips on free. I live with me and I believe I'm free. I'm not struggling. I'm not striving. Life doesn't have its ups and downs. My eye is so locked in and I see everything that comes and goes through this truth. And this truth takes care of everything. Life doesn't even have the ability to change what you see in me. Come on, in 20 years you face everything. We all have. People doing things they should never do, things happening you weren't expecting, traumas, tragedies, stuff happens, man. You lose loved ones. In 20 years, a lot has happened to all of us. But I found this, Dennis, the truth has never changed. A lot has happened, but the truth has never changed. So here's the deal. Are you letting what you're going through decide who you are? Are you letting what He went through already have decided that? And now am I facing everything from that truth? Or am I trying to find truth along the way? Come on, man. If I get rooted and grounded and established in this thing, I won't live like this. I won't only be doing as good as things are going. And life won't have the power to make me who I am. But the one that gave life already decided that. And all of a sudden, my eyes fixed, guys. It's very single and locked in. There's a lot of folks that don't even believe that kind of preaching is legit and real and possible because we've studied a fallen man for so long. We've been so used to the way that seemeth right to a man that we have a hard time sometimes just yielding to truth that makes us free. So we think we've got to be this. And sometimes, well, brother, you know, we all have our moments. What are you trying to say? I hear that stuff all the time. Well, brother, we all have our go-throughs. Well, nobody's perfect. Well, why do you keep selling cheap when you're not for sale? Why do you keep justifying the same so when the same comes, there's no conviction for change? Because that's us, you know. Come on, you say, well, brother, we all have our moments. No, no, that's why you have yours. Because you're positioned for it. Through your eye, through your language. Take away the runway and the plane has nowhere to land. Let that thing circle till it runs out of gas and crashes, man. Are you following me?
In relationships, marriages, we say, well, yeah, but brother, everybody has their moments. What are you trying to justify? Your moment? You try to sell that to Jesus. Look, if you can't sell it to Jesus, why are you buying it? You're created in His image, and Christ is in you. You're following Him, not singing to Him.
Oh, I'm on you now.
Come on! We're not just praying to Him when things are tight, are we? Come on, God forbid this is just give me a better hand, Lord, make my way, bless me, prosper me. How about transform me and make me like you? Live through me by the power of your Spirit and rock the world with the love of who you are. Yeah? Yeah, because blessed are the peacemakers. It doesn't make us wimps, guys. We were taught to be tough and hard and macho our whole lives. We were taught a man is a certain thing. No, Jesus is what a man is. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're the sons of God. It's not who knocks somebody out because you're ticked off and now you're tough. Come on. We were taught the opposite of the truth our whole lives. So when Jesus comes, we become new creations. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are new. The way I think, the way I'm motivated, perspectives, the why, the reason for being in my life, it's all challenged and subject to be changed. And I'm encouraging you guys in this, man. If we just wake up with a Christian confession that's just what God can do for us, how He can provide for me more, how He can answer my biggest needs, we're not going to grow into the nature of God. We're not going to grow in the image of God and really live by His Spirit and touch the people around us and impact the people by His life. We're just going to receive from Him and get through the day. And all of a sudden, Christianity is survival and making it till the end instead of being transformed and changed. The gospel's never been about what God can do for us, guys. And that's what we preach constantly in the Church of America. Blessings, provision, breakthrough, promises, the blessed life, and all that stuff. Being blessed, being blessed. Now, I know Robert Morris wrote a book, The Blessed Life. I had nothing slamming that book. That's just a book. That's actually a good book. So don't read into that if you knew that book. That just hit me when I... So what I'm talking about is just blessings. Just always seeking God for blessings. You just be very careful you're not a Christian for you. If you're a Christian for you, Christianity is going to be tough. You're a Christian for His great name and for the world around you. You're a Christian for people. If you're just a Christian to go to heaven, you're missing the whole point. Life's going to be tough and it's going to eat you up. Is it all right if I'm that honest? None of those reasons are why we're saved. We're saved because the old man was living and he needs to die. And the new man needs to be birthed in us. We need change, transformation. We've made the gospel about blessing and the gospel's all about being changed. Paul said there's times I don't have enough and there's times I have plenty. But I know one thing, in any of those situations, I'm not changed. Because I understand and I know who I am and why I am who I am. That's really what he was saying. I'm just paraphrasing. He's content. Any situation, none of these things move me. None of these things change me. Whether I have enough or don't have enough, I know who I am now. You know what I'm saying? Come on, guys. We've left a lot of this stuff. You ask the average Christian how he's doing, he tells you the three biggest challenges in his life and says, keep me in prayer. So you're identifying how you're doing by how things are going instead of who He is inside of you. Who He is inside of me decides who, how I'm doing because it's already decided who I am. It decides how I see you, how I perceive you. Days of first impressions are over for me. I'm not trying to figure you out. I already know you're worth His blood. He died for you and you matter a whole lot. Doesn't matter how you're coming across. Doesn't matter what you don't understand. Doesn't even matter if your life is seasoned in sin. I see past that. I'm just telling you, it's too late to change my view. That's how Jesus saw me when I wasn't good to look at. But that's how He saw me. On my darkest day, on your darkest day, He knew who you were created to be, and love never failed and lost sight of that truth. In your darkest day. And you think now I understand that and I'm going to sit back and judge you for something I don't agree with? You're wrong, friend. I don't have to. That's a choice. The truth's come and made me free. It's not a choice anymore. It's not even there. I'm not going to judge you for nothing. I'll speak to you for who you are, who you're called to be, and trust it'll provoke a conviction and bring the best out in you. Yeah? Come on. It's just how I've seen the gospel, man. He came and saved me. I was lost. He came into work. It spoke to my heart. Said in English, in my heart, it sounded like my own mind talking to myself. He said, you don't even know if God is really real. That's what he said to me. He didn't say, I haven't been to church for a while, boy. He didn't say, you know you've been messing up lately. You know you've been a terrible husband. You know, he ain't been much of a man at all. He didn't say none of that. He said, you don't even know if God is really real. You know what his intent was? To turn my heart and get me in relationship so I could get to know him, because if I know him, everything changes. Not if I try to serve him, not if I just... See, because if we don't pursue relationship, guys, then we're going to be reduced to serving doctrine. If you're not pursuing relationship, you're serving doctrine. And you're going to find your identity through what you're doing for the Lord instead of who you are in the Lord. And it's a trap. Ministers that don't understand this are finding their identity through ministry, so they're only as good as ministry's going. And if the church ain't flying, they're not flying. All of a sudden they're like, pastoring would be great if it wasn't for the people or whatever. This is messed up, man. Come on. You know, you just want to be used by God to feel encouraged. That's scary ground. You just want to prophesy to feel spirit. That's scary ground. No, I want to get alone when you're not looking. Receive His love and talk to Him from the heart. And get to know Him in that secret place. Because if I seek Him in the secret, guess what? Who will see me there? He who is in secret. And guess what he'll do? It's all scripture. It's Matthew 5. He'll reward me where? In the open. What am I seeking in the secret? Him. What's my reward in the open? Him. The whole goal is Him. People seeing Him. People knowing Him. Through my attitude, guys, through my nature, through my disposition, through my perspective. It's all seed form. Sometimes it's just plowing ground. Let's be good farmers, man. Let's plow ground and let's sow seed and let's water and go to bed at night and wake up and go, wow, how do you do that? Come on. Come on, there's some people that understand farming in this room. If you don't plow the ground and plant nothing, you ain't expecting anything to grow. Why is the kingdom any different? He compares it to a farmer in a garden. He says, the garden, Isaiah 61, as the garden causes things sown in it to grow, so shall the Lord cause righteousness and praise to spring from the earth. So if we don't sow, why do we expect anything to grow? We just intercede for our community? No, we plan into our community. We sow into our community. How do I sow into my community? You go to job with an incredible attitude. You're just thankful. You appreciate your life in Christ. It's not the grindstone, and it's not your boss is a pain somewhere. It's not, God, give me a new job. I can't take the people anymore. I need a good Christian atmosphere. Wrong. You're wrong about that. You're being deceived. You're making it all about you and how you feel, and you're incorporating God into your life and using Him to fulfill your preferences instead of laying down your life and making Him known through it all. I wonder if Jesus would have tried to bail because they tried to kill Him on the first day He preached. First day he preached, Pastor. You know, he's coming back and Pastor Doug comes up. So how'd it go, Jesus? Well, I don't know. I think I sowed some seed. I mean, I know they were convicted. I mean, they tried to kill me. They what? Yeah. Tried to push me off a cliff. You know, the people were fickle, man. I mean, they're standing there and Jesus is preaching. He opens up the scroll and he starts reading out of Isaiah. In Luke, it's right there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me in there. And then He's preaching. They're like, like, this guy's got authority. He's, when he speaks, it's like, whoa. And they're like, wow. And they're all wowed by Jesus. And all of a sudden, they're like, hey, is he talking about us? Yeah. Kill him. That's how weird it was the first day Jesus preached. If you're not secure and don't know who you are, you're going to be pretty moved by that. If you need people to like you, you're probably in trouble. Now you're debriefing and how can I present myself better and how can I... It's weird. Here's the whole point. Jesus wasn't there doing it for him. He was doing it for His great name, for the people. We just sang surrender songs, guys. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16? If any man, which I love that, if any man, you know what that means? We're all invited. Don't you cop out and say, well, it doesn't work for me. That's a lie from hell. If any man. That's you, friend. If any man come after me, let him first what? Isn't that amazing? He didn't say pray a prayer to go to heaven and ensure your name's in a book called life. That's what we preach all over this country. We've made the whole goal confessing a prayer to get our name in a book called life. This has never been the goal of the gospel. That's what we've made the goal be. He said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself. Why? The biggest problem on the planet is man thinking for himself when he was made for God's image. You read your Bible in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. And verse 27 says, so God made man in His image. In the likeness of God, He made man, both male and female, in His image. And He blessed them. What's your created value? His image. What's man created for? To look like his Father. The whole goal of the gospel is to restore you back to the image, not take you to a place called heaven someday. It's to get the old man out of you and put the new man in you. Something has to die so something can live. Yeah. If any man come after me, let him first what? Deny. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for His image. The only reason you and I could be angry, frustrated, jealous, and all the things we were our whole lives, and even after we were born, the only reason we could be those things is because we were self-intended, thinking for ourselves, how things affected us, how we didn't agree, how people didn't work with us, how it didn't go our way. Come on. If you weren't thinking for yourself, you can never be angry at men at the cost of their identity. If you weren't thinking for yourself, you could never again be jealous. If you weren't thinking for yourself, you'd never again compete or have a wrong motive. You see what Jesus is trying to do? Straighten the thing out right at the root. Get man to stop thinking for himself. Because watch this. The day Adam ate that tree was the day he surely... What died? The image. So Adam didn't just sin in the garden. He took on the nature of God's enemy and became solely all about himself. And all of a sudden it was the woman you gave me. She gave me to eat. And it's blame shifting and justifying. First effect of sin in your Bible. Adam, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat the tree? Yes or no question, straight up. Adam, he didn't even have the integrity to say, yes, Lord. He said, oh, it was the woman you gave me. What's he saying? Hey, if you wouldn't have gave me the woman, I probably wouldn't have ate the tree. So you guys work it out. Then he looks at the woman and says, what is this you've done, woman? And she said, the devil, he made me do it. It's right in your Bible. First effect of sin, justifying, blame shifting, self-defense, self-preservation at the cost of whoever. Guess what love does? Lays down its life for another. Guess what self does? Lives at the expense of whoever. Hear the perversion? Twisted, isn't it? Guess what God's image is? God is... Come on, it isn't what He does, it's who He is. We all know that God's image is love. Because everything flows out of the wellspring of who He is. When He says God's image, He's not talking about majesty, glory, and all the stuff He is, splendor. God's image, God is love. So guess what He made man to be? Guess what happened when man ate the tree? Got cut off from the source of love and became in desperate need of love, and it became all about himself. So through eating the tree, he lost his identity. Now watch this. Every one of us guys were born into Adam, and we must be born again. So what were we born into? Identity crisis, a loss of who we were, and a self-centered tendency. Nobody taught you to be angry. Nobody, when you were a year and a half old and you couldn't even talk yet, you were just saying single words like mama. No. You're like one and a half and they take something from you you shouldn't have. You didn't have to go to school to learn that. It was just there. Come on. Be real with me. It's called the fall of man. It's called Adam after sin. You're 2 years old, and the little neighbor's 2 year old's over there, and they're talking at the table, the mamas, and they're all sweet, and you're sitting there, and you're two, and he got your toy. And you're like, They did not go to class to learn that. It's there. It's called me, myself, and I. Unless you come and deny yourself, pick up your cross, you'll never follow me. Oh, you can sing to me. You can talk about me. You can serve in ministry. But the goal is deny yourself and pick up your cross. And now you're following me. Let's pick up your cross. Never let sin against you produce sin in you. And never let the things going on around you decide what's going on in you. And never let what people don't see determine what you do see. Because the truth is in Jesus. He's the light of the world. So picking up your cross is walking through life and letting the life in you decide who you are every step of the way. Did Jesus deserve to be on the cross? But did he hang there and die? Did he let that cross change him? Nope. And now that cross is changing us. Yeah? Amen. Come on, we better get this, guys. We're just going to serve doctrine. We're just going to try to be better men. And all the while feel like we're failing. I'm serious. I've seen it too much. And then I see good-hearted men get deceived and get condemned inwardly and spiral even more because they don't feel good now about themselves and, oh well, and they live in secret condemnation or secret denial, and they go to the men's meetings and hey, hi, and don't even like who they are. I've seen it too much. It's because they've lost sight of the truth of who they really are. So you guys get the gist of why Jesus came? So He's the last Adam. He came and fulfilled what Adam failed. He became what we became through Adam on the cross. God cursed all that on the cross to get us out of that. Now we're born again. He became what we were so we could become what He is, Son. Come on, this thing is just not a confession. It's a transformation of life. It's a whole new reason for being. So Manny gets up now every day in Christ, and here's his reason for being. He wakes up for His image. This is the unity of the Spirit, guys. It's not us always agreeing on every single thing. It's not us all liking the same tune and the same instrument. That's uniformity. That's weird. In our diversity, we find true unity because we have such a mix of gifts and personality and calling and grace just in this small room. But we can all live for the same reason. We can all do what we do for the same reason. We can all wake up for the same goal. Man. You could be in missions. You could be in ministering to the homeless. You could be in just teaching the kids in Sunday school. You could be into worship leading. You could be into whatever. But yet, we do what we do for the same reason. You could just be a businessman. You could just be a blue-collar labor worker like I was for 15 years, but those last 2.5, woohoo, I went into work knowing who I was. I had so much fun, man. Do you know I pastored for 2 years and got restless and went back into the warehouse just to get around sinful folks? Everything around me was Christian. Even the backslidden people were saying, amen, brother, and stuff like that. It just, something started feeling too Christian. I said, I got to get out of here for a little. I got to get some fresh air. So I went into the darkest atmosphere I ever worked. It was the darkest warehouse I had ever worked in. And I asked Jesus to put me somewhere really dark. I went there and the board was like, why are you resigning and stepping down and why are you giving back your pay? I went and took $900 less a month to go into that warehouse than they were giving me to pastor. It was so fun and worth it. Why? That's why I'm alive. I'm alive to shine. I'm alive to love you, not get mad at you. I'm alive to love you, not judge you and have to have an opinion about you. I'm alive to see your value whether you see it or not. I'm alive to know that you're worth His blood whether you know it or not. I'm alive to model Him to whoever's in front of me. And my attitude and my perspective means more than we thought. See, if I don't have a grip on that, if I haven't settled that in prayer, if I haven't been alone with God and communed that through my heart and said yes to that like we sang tonight and just did that alone with God where grace can seal it in my heart, man, next thing you know, you're frustrating me. I'm trying to get you alone for 5 minutes to straighten you out. Or I'm talking to so-and-so, what do you think of brother? Yeah, he gets on my nerves. No, get new nerves. It's always about them changing. How about you seeing them different? You say, well, they really bother me. Well, they don't bother God. He sent His Son and died for them while they were yet sinners. I bet we're just seeing them different. Come on, that's a phrase we all grow up with. They just really get on my nerves. The whole point is getting new nerves. It's not them changing. It's you getting new nerves. You say, well, they ruffle my feathers. Well, pluck yourself. You know what I'm saying. See, we've been deceived to live in a way where everybody around us is forced to soothe us. And we decide who we like, who we don't, who we hang with, who we don't. Come on, you can't tell me that's not weird and twisted when you really look at it through the gospel. You guys with me? Come on, this stuff's important. You guys matter so much. You all, everybody in this room has a sphere of influence. You have people that you meet, pass by, talk to, work around, and hang around that others will never get that opportunity. I'm serious. If you would multiply the sphere of influence that's in this small room, it's a sea of people. It's not that you got to preach to everyone with a bullhorn and get everyone to bow and pray a prayer, a sinner's prayer. It's that you mark their life with a seed of truth, that you mark their life with an attitude that's Jesus, with a mindset that's Christ. Some of it's time passing by and they just see consistency in you. And all of a sudden they just... I had a call one time from a supervisor on my day off. Wanted to know if they could talk to me. Sounded a little choppy and hesitant on the phone. And I'm like, listen, man, you called. It's okay. You called for a reason. Why'd you call, man? He said, I just don't understand how you live the way you do. See, you want that phone call. A supervisor on my day off calls and says, I wasn't trying to evangelize him. I wasn't preaching to him. I don't know if I ever preached to him. He saw my life in everyday work setting. And he said, I don't know how you live the way you do. I need you to explain your life. He said, I know you're going to say it's Jesus, but I don't know what you mean. Can you explain how you live the way? I said, you got a minute? It's a true story. Of course I'm not making this up. That would make me a bad man. I asked him to come over to the house. He sat on the porch. I shared the gospel. He wept and said, can I get born again? Supervisor. Never evangelized. Love is evangelistic. My life is called to be evangelistic. Now there's no pressure on me whatsoever. Just live upright. Just be sincere. Just make peace with all men. Have peace with God and peace with folks. They see your attitudes. They see your life. Questions rise. All of a sudden they have ears to hear what you say because they already have a level of honor and respect and they're already intrigued by some things about your life. You're not just the one of the guys. And you're not holier than thou. You're not pointing out all their sins. You're just living your life in Christ and they're gone. You get it? I could tell you stories for probably an hour and a half straight of just workplace stuff. Just going in there with the right perspective. Waking up and being thankful for my life. Appreciating and seeing my life as a gift, not a dread. Come on, God just shifted that in me. I used to hate going to work. I was already messed up. And then when I was all worse mess. I'd be like, it's work, gotta work, work, work. So I was already miserable, and then I'd walk through the door and be double miserable. Serious. It's miserable. Then you're in there working, so then you think it's the grindstone, and hang on, and then you start resenting things at home that you're working for, because if it wasn't for this and this, I wouldn't have to work all this. And you have all, it gets confusing. It's amazing, Pastor, when I got saved, how all that just changed in the salvation. And how Jesus taught me that He saved me. He delivered me from the old man, the old nature, the old mindset, and He gave me something brand new. Not just His Spirit, not just a seal and for that day, and not just a name in a book called life. He gave me who He is. He put something new in me. New capacity, an eye that was changed. All of a sudden, I had a whole different regard for my employees, my supervisors, the honor called work, a tool God was using to bring income into my family so I would go do it unto the Lord. My days, watch this, my days of complaining ended when I got saved. Why? Because it was never again about me. Do you know what Philippians 2 says? Do all things without grumbling or complaining. Why? Because it's not about you. Why are you to do all things without grumbling and complaining, Philippians 2? Watch. So that you're seen as innocent, harmless children in the midst of a perverse generation, whom you, shining forth as a light, holding forth the word of life.
Whoa, that's right there in your Bible. I read it. It's Philippians 2. It's there, baby.
Why do you do all things without grumbling and complaining? So the world sees you as harmless and innocent. So they have nothing to accuse you of, but they're actually moved, convicted, and challenged by your life. Because they don't think the way you think. That's what perversion means. It means twisted. They have a twisted view. And your view is straight and narrow, and they see it and go, wow, there's another way. Wonder if it's the way.
Yeah.
And they might criticize it at first. They might ridicule it for a while. They might make fun of you and call you a softy, a pushover, a passive person. But after a while, they'll realize it ain't hurting nobody. And it's actually a strong, solid position. And all of a sudden, something starts working called grace. Yeah? But if you're just whining and wooing and wahing like everybody else, then all they do is know you go to church and they don't. You have a doctrine, they don't. And now you're trying to get them to shake their head yes to what you believe they have to shake their head yes to. And you say, hey, got a convert. That's what we do. Oh my goodness. Have mercy. Conversion, a convert means that very, to be converted, to be changed. Are you guys okay? So listen, this is for all of us. I'm just cheering you on. Every one of us has this doorway to step into, this grace. And I'm just being real basic, kicking this thing off tonight. Everything I'm telling you is good news. Good news. You have a right to get up every day through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Christ, to be sincere, set your heart on that truth and say, wow, God, You're willing to forgive me of everything I've ever done, everything I've ever been, every way I've ever thought outside of You. Put a brand new thing called Your way in my life so I can model You and make You known to the hearts of men. What an honor. But see, it's up to you. You're the steward of your heart and life. You can keep believing lies, demean your value, demean yourself. Well, how can you demean your value if you really say you have faith in the cross of Jesus Christ? Why would Jesus die for the thing that you devalue? Why would Jesus die if you're a loser? See, I was taught by pastors growing up that Jesus died on the cross because I was a sinner. It's not really the truth. I know what they're trying to say. He had to die because I sinned. But He didn't die because I'm a sinner. He died because I was a lost son. He died because of my value, not my sin. He doesn't pay a high price for a sin. He paid a high price for something back. Come on, you never wrote a big check in your life and didn't get something valuable in return. You wouldn't have wrote the big check, friend. See, we're so brainwashed hearing the gospel a certain way our whole life that when you preach it clear, it almost sounds like blasphemy or heresy. He didn't die because we're sinners. He had to die because we committed sin. He died to get our value, our destiny back, to restore our purpose, to put His life back inside of you. He didn't die because you're a loser. He died because you're called to be His. He wouldn't die for nothing. He died for something. That would be you. We're taught our whole life that we're just worms and stuff. We get this idea that we're so decrepit that we can't even say one thing positive about our life or something. Are you kidding me? He knows what you look like when He's in you and you're surrendered. He thinks that's worth paying for. Come on, guys. If God can change our perspective, He'll change our life. And if I could just encourage you to let go of condemnation, guilt, shame, unworthiness, competitiveness, comparing ourselves among ourselves. Zero. No. You leave tonight and no blood was shed for you. And God is serious. Come on. God put on flesh. He sat in the womb of a woman for 9 months like you and me did. Came through her birth canal. Didn't take a shortcut. He came as a man, captain of our salvation, fulfilled everything that was failed, fulfilled the law of righteousness, died on the cross as a righteous man. Totally innocent. Died as guilty. Took our guilt away. Turned the tables on the devil. Took it all away. Yeah. Come on, think about it. Why would... That is so intense to me that God of the universe would reduce Himself to a little fetus in a woman and come out of her vaginal canal, guys. Let's get real. Have to nurse on her breasts and be totally dependent. Poop in them little whatever they used back then. They weren't Pampers. I think about that stuff. I sit on my bed and I think about that. I'm thinking, this thing is real. God put on flesh and had to become a man to pay the price for man. He must think there's something there worth redeeming. We've turned it into a prayer to go to heaven someday. It's much more. It's Christ in you. It's your nature changing. It's your life changing. It's you becoming the man you were always created to be. Not because you bit your lip so hard to try to change. Because you saw you are more. You saw you're worth more. You saw that He never saw less. Or He would have never paid more. Right? Then that's good news. You see, I told you there was something wrong with me. You know what's wrong with me? I believe what I'm telling you. That's why I would fly the whole way out here when I didn't have to. You need to get that. There's somebody that needs to click with that. I don't need to be here. I agreed to be. I chose to be. I wanted to be. My wife was out of town from September 22nd till this past Tuesday. It's the first time I saw her face since September 22nd. I wouldn't need to be here. I want to be. I didn't tell you that story so you feel bad for me. I'm not suffering. I'll see her in a few days. You get what I'm saying? I've laid down my life for His sake. Grace covers that. I'm not, oh, I miss her, and oh boy, I haven't been home. Oh, never one time in 8 years of doing what I do. I do 45 weekends a year on average. Not one time did a remote thought come to me, oh, wow, I got to travel this weekend. Wow, I got to get on a plane. Wow, travel's really bad. I wish I didn't have to travel so much. I don't even know what that would sound like in my head other than what I just interpreted because I know what we've done our whole lives with that stuff. Never one time does it even remotely come. I'm excited about what I'm doing. I'm excited to get on the plane. Somebody might sit beside me and ask me how I'm doing. That would be fun. Say, how are you, man? Oh, hanging in there. Oh, just hanging in there, brother. Keep me in prayer. Probably not the answer I'm giving, Pastor. They say, well, why were you in town? You really want to know? You're just asking me rhetorical because now I'm going to tell you. See, I'm like a pool cord doll when you ask me questions. It's like... It's just fun, man. So it's just cool because I'm not caught up with connections and delays. And am I going to miss my flight? Am I going to have to stay overnight in Atlanta? It's irrelevant. What matters is Christ is in me. And everybody that's ever around me, it matters. Without me being overwhelmed in some militant, evangelistic. I'm having the time of my life. I'm not strained by the evangelistic pressure. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm excited. I know I'm changed. And because I know I'm changed, it's bringing change somewhere, somehow. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you just encounter people. You're at the ticket counters. There's people frustrated about stuff. I mean, you're all going on the same plane, and there's people jockeying for position. Oh, it's funny. You have little subtle little steps in. It won't look. People. It's hilarious. I just love not being a part of any of that. I was in an airport and they had me oversold. And then they said, oh, we got you a seat. I said, good. They said, and this person got a seat, but there's still three oversold and two that can't get on because of a weight thing. They had to let five people off the plane. And this lady's falling apart, man. She doesn't fly much and she was extreme. She didn't have to be the way she was. She was way out of the box. But she was making a statement. I went on that plane. And she's trembling. She looked like she's going to need medical attention. She was so worked up. And I snuck up to that clerk and I said, hey, honey. I said, that seat you gave me? Yeah. I said, don't say anything. But just give it to her. She needs to get home. She said, she needs to calm down. She needs to. The gate lady was telling me, she needs to. She's had about enough of it. And I said, no, she's overwhelmed, honey. You just give her my seat. She said, sir, you have a seat. She said, why would you give her your seat? I said, to get her home. She needs to get home. She said, but you have a confirmed seat. She said, no one gives up that confirmed seat. I realize that. That's probably a problem, isn't it? See? It just makes her think different. It just challenges her a little. So I said, don't tell her. Give her my seat. She said, Miss So-and-so? She said, yes. She said, we got your seat. She said, good. She snatched that boarding pass out of her hand and gave it to that lady. And the lady couldn't take it. The gate agent couldn't take it. She said, well, that man over there gave you his seat. She had it. I'm like, duh. She acted like she didn't even listen. She's right on the plane. I didn't do it for her to acknowledge me. I just did it to help her. He didn't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. It's before the Lord. You just did it for the girl to get her home. It wasn't an evangelistic statement. I wasn't trying to reach her for Christ. I was just loving her in the moment. So she and sat down, but I couldn't help but to think what happened. Because if you ever fly and you think you're missing your flight, and then you're hustling and you get on there, because you really don't want to. You don't ever know how you're going to regroup. Sometimes, I mean, I've been in an airport where I couldn't make the afternoon flight, and I ended up flying out 24 hours later. You never know how that's all going to work out. So you'd like to get on the plane, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. Right? Life goes on. Jesus is the same. Every scripture still reads the same. You see what I'm saying? You don't let one event decide who you are. You let Him already settle that so you handle all the events. Come on, that's just wisdom right there. See my hair color? I'm not that old, but I got the hair color. That means wisdom. I'm just kidding. My hair turned like this when I was in my 30s. Nobody in our family has white hair. My grandpa's hair, he was 99 and a half when he passed. His hair was white, but it was dark probably till he was well in his 80s. About 80. My dad is 73. His hair is jet black and he doesn't color. And everybody's like, what happened to your hair? I said, the more I read my Bible and pray, it changes. I ain't fighting it. I said, I saw a Charlton Heston movie once. He come down off the mountain with them two tablets. He just as white as could be. Do you ever see that? Moses movie? He come down off the mountain. He's changed. So I just think it's Jesus. He changed my hair. But you know, I couldn't help but to think that lady sat on that plane and probably got that sigh of relief, Pastor, and she probably calmed down a little. Wow, I'm getting home. And then the words of that lady probably rung in her ear. That man over there gave you his seat. Come on, God will just take the littlest thing and begin to do something for somebody. I just felt like it was right. And then you know what the airline did? People don't know this stuff, or they wouldn't fall apart. The airline comes up to me and says, Mr. Moeller, we realize you were one of the three inconvenienced in the oversale. And I actually just took the lady's place. Sound familiar? Somebody took our place. I really just took her place. She said, well, I need you to wait over here. The agent, the airline agent will come and bring your check. And you'll need to sign this one little form. And then you do have your rebooks. Da, da, da. I said, what do you mean bring that check? She said, well, sir, you're in an oversale. She said, it's a federal regulation that if we take the risk in oversale and it does it, it backfires on us and we have customers that are left hanging in the balance, we have to pay them 200% of the ticket value. I said, it's a federal law? She said, oh, absolutely. I said, well, if people knew that, they probably wouldn't be fussing so. So my ticket was $433. I gave the lady my seat. Delta came and handed me a check for $866. Money in the bank for waiting 2.5 hours to fly out later. 2.5 hours. And I had $866 in my pocket just being nice. There's this young guy beside me. He had to fly out in the morning. So if you're going to inconvenience more than 4 hours, the max is $1,060. So he's holding a check for $1,060. He's 20 years old. I asked him. To him, that was a lot of money. $1,060. He said, why are they giving us this? He said, is this my money? I said, yes. I said, I didn't understand it either, but she explained it to me. I said, we were in an oversale. They gambled. They played the odds, the percentages. If it backfires, they, because of the inconvenience it causes the customer, they're penalized 200% the ticket value. So you were over 4.5 hours inconvenienced. You're flying out in the morning, so you just pocketed $1,060 for being oversold. He went, cool, man. Awesome. I mean, this guy was like, he said, I wish I'd get oversold all the time. I mean, he's like flipping out. And I got to thinking with these young guys in technology, there's probably some way to crack the code, man. He could probably get in there and figure out how to book oversold flights somehow. Hey, what do you do for a living? I get oversold. I mean, I gross about 75 a year. But it changes things then, you know, when you see, but this lady was a mess. My point was, before Jesus, I'd have looked over to her and thought, get a grip, girl. Why are you acting so crazy? You're just hung up in an airport. It's not the end of your life. I might have even yelled over at her, knock it off. I was pretty belligerent when I wasn't saved. Now that I'm saved, I had compassion and I thought, you know, she probably never flies. She's scared. She just wants to get home and she's overreacting. But to her, it's real. And it meant something to me. So how hard is it for me to give her my seat when I'll be okay? Come on, guys. That's all I'm talking about, stuff like that. Why would you let a supervisor wear you down, bother you, and beat you down with their attitude and get you, yeah, I can't. And then all of a sudden you're praying for a new job because you can't take it anymore. That's not even Christian. Come on, that's a self-centered view. My question is this. Why don't you have Jesus' lenses on? And why aren't you seeing your boss for where he's not, what he doesn't understand? Why don't you have compassion on him? Why aren't you weeping for him instead of weeping because of him? Come on, guys. I'm telling you, if every one of us start making a shift like this in prayer and seeing that we can all live this way, you'd be amazed how that right there would change some things about our conduct, about the little things in our life. Just change things. Because now you're walking in agreement with Him. You're walking in grace, man. You're empowered by the Spirit of God because you're saying yes to His yes. And grace starts touching every area of your life. And now you're not just trying to be a better man. You're a changed man. You see what I mean? There's a difference. So this is my encouragement to you tonight. We'll just wrap this thing up here because I know we're meeting all day tomorrow. So take this home with you tonight. God made man in His image. That image was lost through sin. So Jesus was made to be sin on the cross so we could become righteous again. So He took the lie off of us by putting it on His Son, clothing us in truth. Come on. So this thing is a far cry from praying a prayer to go to heaven. It's the transformation of my life. It's the change of my mind. It's my perspective, my motivation, my reason for being. Everything's changed. All of a sudden, watch this. I'm going to challenge you with this a little. All of a sudden in my heart, I deal with me, not everybody around me. I don't wait for them to change to affirm change in me. Jesus is inspiring me now. So watch this. So all of a sudden I realize alone in prayer, wow, my days of offense towards my wife, frustration, negativity, outbursts, it's over. Father, it's not who I am. It's not who I'm created to be. I just give that away. I die to that thing. Man, the world taught me that was right. My self-centered connotations taught me that was justifiable. None of it's right because it's not love. And if it's not love, it's not You. And I don't want it in my life. And you talk to the Lord like that from a place of sincerity. My days of arguing with her, frustrated with her, my days of putting her down have ended, God. You have made me brand new. I'm a brand new man. Now, I'm not setting myself up to fail. I'm empowering myself to live what I'm now seeing and believing. So grace comes into me. Watch. You're saved by grace through... As soon as I start releasing faith in the truth, grace comes to make that truth my reality. And all of a sudden, I didn't even bite my lip to try to be okay. Grace made me okay. And all of a sudden, all glory goes to God because He changed me. I didn't change myself. So I can't get in boasting and can't become a proud Christian. I just love Him all the more because He's amazing. You get it? And all of a sudden, things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. And I realize it and I start to weep. Why? Because He's changing me. Or people come up to you and say, man, your life's so different in this area. I noticed. How did you do that? You can't even answer them because you've just been with Him. You've just put it off. And put on the new. You put off the problem, put on the answer in prayer, committed it to God, and grace came and said, okay, and made you the way you desire. Come on, isn't that awesome? And all of a sudden you're thrown in a situation that would have shook you before and it doesn't shake you now. What changed? You changed by His Spirit, by grace. Why? Because you want change, because you believe change is His will. And you see that the way you used to respond isn't the will of God. It isn't your creative value and it isn't the work of Holy Spirit. And it's the way that seemeth right to a man, but it never produces life. In fact, always produces death. You get it? So would you agree we were all trained by a lie? Would you agree that the mindsets we grew up with, we were homeschooled in the wrong home, the wisdom of the world taught us? So aren't we to get renewed in the spirit of our mind? Aren't we to be no longer conformed to the world, but transformed by thinking different than we ever thought before? Come on. So the biggest battle won in this Christianity is when you and I start thinking in line with truth and see things for the way they really are through the Son of God. And who's our role model? Who's our example? Who are we following? Jesus. So if I can't see it in His life, I don't want it in mine. If I see Him thinking it, if I can't see Him expressing it, then I don't want to rationalize and reason it. Come on, guys. If my mindset isn't producing life, it can't be from the Lord. Because He's the giver of life. He came to give you life, John, and life even more. So if my mindset isn't building me up, encouraging me, and moving me forward, then my mindset's not coming from Him. If you're just saying, oh, well, you know, well, I tried, you know, sometimes. You know how we do. And then all of a sudden you get on this track and it sure seems right. And then unfortunately you'll find somebody that agrees with you. You'll tell the person that understands how you feel, and they'll call it compassion and sensitivity. It's all deception and destruction. Oh, it's terrible. Support group. You know, people are hurting and they gravitate to people that are hurt. And then they tell them what so-and-so did and they say, they did what? Well, you must be so hurt. I can't believe they did it. Yeah, no. Oh, honey, come here. Let me pray for you. And then they cover it up spiritually by praying for them. Spirit of God isn't even there doing anything. It's all a mask. And you call it compassion. No, it's just pain licking pain. Nobody's getting healed. See, if you came to me like that, I love you enough, I'd say, well, listen, man, I hear what you're saying, and I wish they wouldn't have did that, but why does it have you so busted up? Let me ask you this, Freddie. How's that change who you are? How's that change who Jesus is in you? Why are you letting what one man just did trump what one man already did? That's how I would minister to you as a friend. I wouldn't. There's no way I'd wrap my arm around you and say, oh, I can't believe they said that to you. You're not getting that from me. You don't want that from me. Because that's just going to give you permission to stay the same and justify your flesh instead of live by His Spirit. Come on, guys, this thing isn't simple. Difficult. It's simple. I didn't come and bring you one thing tonight that was difficult. It's just challenging the way we've been thinking. So we're going to hit this thing hard tomorrow on some stuff and give you some real practical things. But tonight I just want to leave you with this simple thought. You're all worth the blood of Jesus. That means you're all redeemable. We can all live this thing because He said so. You and I are the steward of our heart. What are we going to do with the gospel now that we hear it? Because we've heard it in our lives. What are we going to, not what is anybody else going to do? People say, well, you know, I wouldn't be where I was, you know, if it wasn't for this, this, and this, or I'd be in a better place if it wasn't for. I've heard people say all my pastoral life, well, I'd be probably doing a lot better if it wasn't for my spouse. Well, your spouse is in the Lord. Why is your spouse governing who you are? You sing Jesus as Lord and you're letting your spouse decide you. Why do you let where your spouse isn't decide where you are? Why don't you go overcome evil with good? Why don't you tone down a harsh word with a kind word? Why don't you let love cover a multitude of sin? Why don't you let mercy triumph over judgment? I think they're scriptures. Yeah? Who remembers Jesus going up to Golgotha? And all of a sudden He drops the cross and says, Father, I'm done with this. In fact, if they hit me with one more club, I mean, look at me. Look what they've done to me. Haven't I healed their sick, fed their thousands? Didn't I raise their dead? And look at me. And this is what I... Look, if they didn't change by now, they're not going to change. And I don't even know what we're thinking and why we've... I'm telling you this, Father. I am not dying on the tree. They are not putting them things through my hands. Come on! In today's language, it's a great talk show. We all sympathize and we understand. Jesus doesn't even have the capacity to do that. Why? Because love never fails. He's not thinking for Himself. He doesn't even, that little scenario I just played out, He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. The only reason we know is because we grew up thinking for ourselves. We were trained by the lie. And then the truth came. And we beheld Him. Yeah, man, I love the gospel. See? He didn't just tell me to pray a prayer to go to heaven. He taught me how to live. He taught me to deny myself, pick up my cross and follow me. See, so I come preaching. You don't owe me nothing. I minister as a pastor. People don't owe me nothing. I minister in good faith, hoping it brings change. But it can't fail me and break my heart and disappoint me. And, well, I don't want to counsel anymore because people won't listen. And stop. Get over yourself already. The prerequisite isn't that they're listening, it's that I'm giving them truth, because if I don't give them truth, there's no hope for freedom. If you don't sow and you don't water, Why are you expecting change? And all of a sudden you're frustrated and want to cut them off and, well, they're just wasting my time. If God said that about you at some point in your life, you're toast. Come on. Did God ever do that to any of you? Who of you finally got sincere and went to the altar and wept and said, Lord, forgive me. And He showed up and said, oh, it's you. You know, I've been wooing you for a long time, and now you finally show up after all these months? Should have came 6 months ago. I gave you the best chance of your life, and you just ignore me. And you caused a lot of hell and pain in between. In fact, it's good I don't slumber, because I wouldn't have slept anyway, because you've got my heart on a yo-yo. I don't even know where we stand, friend. In fact, now you want to stand there and cry, and you're all sorry. Why weren't you sorry yesterday? Who did God treat like that? We've treated each other that way. If I can't see it in Him, I don't want it in me. Because if it didn't come from Him, it can't be the truth. Well, that's just good straight preaching right there, friend. I didn't learn that other way from the way. So I don't want it to continue to be my wisdom. You guys with me? See how awesome it is to preach the gospel and put the ball in your court. Like your heart right now, it's all between you, your heart, your conscience. What are you going to do with the convictions of what I'm saying? Because you're called to this. And it's your privilege to run this race worthy of the prize. You can take on offense if you want. You can try to justify it. But after tonight, you won't be able to do it cleanly in your conscience.
Yeah. See, I got you. You won't be able to do it cleanly in your conscience. I don't care if you get three people to agree with you. Deep in your conscience, you'll know it doesn't have to be your position. So you don't even realize how set up you were tonight.
My days of being offended are over. And I promise you, being offended and justifying it isn't going to happen. Because I got to look back to Jesus, and then it takes away my guard. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Maybe you ought to talk to Jesus about that. Maybe He was as pure could be and never did wrong and suffered as if He did wrong His whole life. Maybe He did something worthy of being appreciated forever and was appreciated none. Maybe He left a murderer go right in front of Him and brutally beat him and murdered him, and maybe He didn't change His mind. That ought to speak to us, huh? Come on, guys, we can follow Him. Don't say, well, you don't know what it's like in my home. I'm not talking about your home. I'm talking about Him. Yeah, but you don't know what my kids have been putting me through. No, I get what you're trying to say, but stop letting that give you a permission to be less than Jesus. Stop making your kids Lord and then singing Jesus is. Yeah, but you don't know that the wife I got to put up with. Stop that. You're to love her like Christ loves the church. And the more you keep thinking that, you're doing a detriment to your own self, let alone your own family. We need to bring Jesus into that thing. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And love covers a multitude of sin. Stop saying you're hurt. Take away the permission slip. Come on, I'm talking to some folks tonight. You got to pull out the excuses of your flesh, because it will cause tomorrow to be yesterday. It's time for a new day. Come on, you know it's the truth, guys. There was a season in my life when my wife was in an identity crisis because she was believing one lie about herself. My daughter was making a terrible decision, and my son was on a rampage all at the same time. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. We all have a story, guys. The reason I'm so passionate is because I was in those shoes. And I grew leaps and bounds in that whole season. And Jesus taught me firsthand everything I'm preaching. And I've had the time of my life through it all. Today, my wife's doing amazing, my daughter's doing amazing, and my son's doing amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. So I'm preaching what I'm preaching today. Ain't nothing I'm preaching that I don't live every day and haven't lived to the T. That's why I'm so confident when I preach it, passionate about it. It's that big of a deal. I'm just done being discouraged. You're not going to see it. I don't want to see it in you. So be honest. If you're discouraged, who's your focus on? You and how things are affecting you presently.
and you're losing sight of the kingdom. But seek ye first His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are you to be seeking first? You got to think for the kingdom, guys, if you want the kingdom to back you in things. Think for His name and think for others, and you'll walk free. I've learned this: until we get free from ourselves, we're not free at all. But when I'm free from me, I'm free from you. So now I can finally love you and be what I was created to be. But if I'm not free from you, I need you and I expect of you, and I'm finding my identity through you, and now I'm only as good as you're doing me. Now I have a reason to be less than Him, and it's you, and that's deception. Come on, guys. You all good? Okay, I want you to take this word to heart, okay? When you hear a fellow talk like I'm talking, it's not to show you where you're not, it's to show you where you're called. And it's to lead you into a place of communion and intimacy. And I'll leave you on this short note, and I've got to wrap this up. Nothing compares to your ability to be with Him and be in His presence. It's the greatest thing of your life. Whether you've realized that or not is irrelevant to me at this point. But learning to know that's true and pursue that truth is a big deal to me tonight. So when you hear a fellow talking like this, you get alone. The first chance you get when ain't nobody around, even if you're just alone driving in your car tonight, don't let time go by. Don't just click on the stereo. Just say, Lord, I was listening tonight. I want to know you more, and I give myself to you. And those things, and all of a sudden any convictions, and the way I this, and I was letting this bother me, man, I give up that right. I give up that permission. I realize you made me for your image, and I want to pursue your image. Holy Spirit, help me, change me, and make me like you. You start talking like that to the Lord from a sincere place, your life's changed without you struggling. You follow me? So don't just incorporate Jesus into your life. Let Him become your life. Don't just come to church for what He can do for you. Come to church to become more like Him. That's why every time we gather, we're to stir one another in love and good works. And we've made it all about ministering to ourselves. It's not ministry that makes you free, it's truth. Are you all right? Okay. I'll pray something over you real quick. Can I do that? Father, I just thank you for these men. I thank you for their faith to come, their desire to come, and I pray that these words just stir something good inside and just bring the fruit of your kingdom to our lives. I ask that you would just add grace to tonight, and let tonight bring change, and let tomorrow and every day that comes just look a little different just because of faith, confirmation of words, things that were already sown, being watered, just the working of your kingdom, God. Let it be effectual in our lives. And let our lives begin to speak the message of your love without us trying hard. God, let our lives be so changed that people can't help but be touched and influenced by who we've become, because it's just real. And it's consistent and it's believable, because it's fruit right before their eyes. Thank you, God. You said something amazing. You'll know them by their fruit. Let them know us by our fruit, not our speech, God. Let them know us by our fruit. And Father, I pray that our lives would inspire many lives, and the way that you touch our hearts, many hearts would be touched. So Father, let this thing increase through the generations so that all might know your name and know your love. Father, we ask it all, and I bless these men in their houses, in their homes, in their marriages, and their children, and I pray that they personally be empowered to become love and walk in love like never before. Let them be peacemakers and know it's not a passive, weak position. Let them walk in the strength of meekness, God. Let them walk in who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, can we? I don't know how many are coming in the morning, but I'll get to see a few of you in the morning, but can we just do something and take 3 minutes and we'll do it? I don't usually do it this way, but it's just always on my heart. Just Jesus is a big time healer. He heals things, man. I see it all the time. I'm excited about it. But if I do it the way I usually do it, it's going to take a lot of time. But I'm going to do something quick and simple, but it won't be ineffective. I promise. Would you let me? And I want you guys to help me. If you need healing in your body in any way, if you have something in your body, a condition that's less than wholeness, That would be awesome if it would change and go away. I just need you to raise your hand right where you're sitting. Let me see who you are.
Keep it up there. Anybody that doesn't have their hand raised, just work with me. We'll do this quick. Run to somebody that has their hand raised and just get behind them, put your hand on them, say, hey man, I'm here with you. I'm going to believe with you. Just get to somebody that has their hand raised. If you don't have yours raised, get to them if they have theirs raised. Please. I usually teach this out and we do it in a certain way and it's a lot of fun. And we're having so many things change. But tomorrow we'll just ask, I got two men there. Is there anybody, can anybody get to those two men? If you have tag teamed, somebody split up and go grab them. That would be awesome. Hey, thank you, Scott, for getting him. Good. Oh, we got everybody covered. Here's all I want to do. Listen, this is very simple tonight. The reason we pray for the sick is because of the forgiveness of sins. He shed His blood to forgive the act of sin committed. He gave His body to remove the penalty that sin brought to humanity. So anything less than wholeness is just a repercussion of the fall of man. It just is, very simply put. Now watch this. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's not your prayer. It takes away self-consciousness. It's not you praying right, praying enough, praying. It's you believing what He accomplished through His Son and His love for the person. It's faith in Jesus that brings healing. It's faith in His finished work. So watch this. The person you're about to pray for, all you really need to believe tonight is, it's God's will to heal, and He accomplished it through His Son because He loves this man. That's how simple I want you to be tonight. Are you all able to be that simple with me? Don't try to play some eloquent prayer. Watch this. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's probably enough when there's a revelation of what He accomplished. True? Watch, if you have to pray right, we should be all in prayer college. If it's all dependent on how you pray, then it isn't dependent on what He accomplished. So now it's back to us again, and we're trapped in works. And now we're self-conscious and afraid to fail, so we pull back instead of step out. Come on! One of the biggest reasons people don't pray for the sick, they're afraid nothing will happen, so they get what they're afraid of by not stepping out. Tonight you stepped out. Commend you. Here's what I want you to do. Sincerely but simply. We didn't even ask what's wrong with anybody tonight. We're doing it way different than I usually do, but it won't be without effect. Tomorrow we'll ask some guys what happened and we'll just take time tomorrow and we'll get you out of here in a good time tonight. But all I want you to do is sincerely, in a minute, I want you to pray something simple over them like, be healed in Jesus' name. Every weakness, every sickness, you leave their body. Be whole. In the name of Jesus. Something very simple, command form that speaks wholeness over the life. Are you all willing and ready? Go ahead, I want you to do that from your heart over your brother right now. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Bring wholeness in this room. That's right. Just speak it right over them. A couple lines of sincere faith. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Bodies change. Pains leave. Strength come. Yeah? Where there was degeneration, Father, we thank you for regeneration. Where there was stiffness, thank you for freedom. Where there was pain, thank you for none. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, if you're being prayed for, you just thank God right now that He loves you. Thank God that it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Come on, be personal with Him. If you got prayed for tonight, take the time right now and just thank Him. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for healing me. Thanks for doing a change and a work in my body. A lot of times I get people, we define things, we get people to check stuff and we do something, and I might do it that way some other time. But tonight, I just want you to leave in here thankful. Let your risings, your sittings, your comings and your goings decide what's going on in your body. And tomorrow, we'll just take a little survey what happened tonight and what was changed. And Father, if they slept at night and had trouble, if there was pains, if they had to find a comfortable place and position, if they were woke in the middle of the night by these conditions, I thank you tonight is different. I thank you men will sleep and get the sleep necessary, wake up whole, and just rejoice in you. Let some of these men tonight just weep alone with you because they know you've done something good in their body. Let intimacy result out of it, God, and let personal union with you. I just thank you for touching these men tonight. And Father, thanks for stirring our hearts in the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen, guys? Amen. Amen. All right, man. Do you want to say anything, Rudy? Or we'll see you tomorrow if you can come. And thank you.